This episode is brought to you by Amazon Prime. You know Amazon Prime is not just a shipping subscription, right? It's got everything, including streaming TV and movies on Prime Video. And of course, Prime's fast, free shipping. Go from watching your favorite shows to getting your favorite things. Whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Visit amazon.com/prime to get more out of whatever you're into.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Welcome into NBA Morning Deuce for Thursday, April 22nd. Alex, I have a question for you before we even talk about any basketball.
Okay. Ready?
Do you hear the birds chirping outside my window?
No.
Okay. I've had some pretty bad luck in my last couple apartments with noises that bug the shit out of me. And over the last, I think it's been like a week now, it's not even right outside my window, but my building is three buildings and they're like, and there's like a common area with a pool and like trees and stuff out in the middle of the buildings, and it's out there, and I can't be the only one that hears it all night because
it is. These birds, they chirp at each other trying to carve out a space in the trees.
I think they're trying to.
Oh, get busy.
Yeah, maybe. I think they're trying to bone.
No, I think, well, it's all part of it. You know, if you're
bachelor, I did some research.
You're a bachelor bird and you stake out your own tree.
I did some research. Why would a bird be chirping all night nonstop?
And yeah, what did it say? I did the same research because my parents' house used to have it.
One of the answers was it could be like a male bird trying to get his bump and grind.
Get his beak wet. All right, good start.
But there could be other, there was some other ones, but that was the one that stuck out to me. And then there was one that's like some birds are quiet during the day and loud at night. I don't know. Sing at night. I don't know, but dude, what the fuck?
Yeah, no, I don't hear it though, but that actually would drive me crazy.
Yeah. Tell me about it. It's only been recently, so maybe they're just here for like, and you just moved in. I don't know. But the other thing is I live in an apartment building with a bunch of old people, so they may not even hear it. Like, I might be the only one who hears it. Right. And I also might be going crazy. You'll
never be able to confirm it. You're just not going to, you won't know.
But I do live in a condo that like with an association that I feel like if people were annoyed enough, they go get that damn bird.
Mm-hmm.
Or like politely move the nest somewhere else.
How's an old person going to get up there?
I don't know, but and this is going to be bad, and maybe I shouldn't say this on a podcast, but I've had this issue once before. I believe, I want to say it was when I lived in Memphis, Tennessee, but the bird, like the tree was right outside my bedroom window, and the bird, like I could see the bird. And at one point I just got a broom and just shook the tree.
Dude. Oh my God.
What else? I couldn't sleep.
You had to rattle his cage with a broom.
He wasn't there. No. He wasn't there.
That's good. Was there eggs in it?
No. Well, I don't know. I don't think so.
See, you don't know.
But I got rid of that.
No, that's fair. I think that's fine.
No, I mean, the bird either. I mean, even if I didn't like kill the bird, killed the nest.
Right.
So that he had to go build it somewhere else.
You evicted him. It was an eviction, a bird eviction.
This one, I couldn't do that even if I wanted to. I'd be searching around this big outdoor area, just like climbing trees, looking for birds.
Yeah.
Speaking of birds, the Hawks.
My God, that's crazy. I was going to do that before. I'm not even kidding. I had that teed up to transition to the Hawks. Wow. Okay.
Well, I beat you to it.
Same page.
That's why I'm the first voice.
Yeah. Damn it.
Well, I was thinking like, these last few weeks, these it's happening every night. And now these next, other than when Steph Curry goes nuts, but I feel like the theme of these last few weeks is going to be Eastern Conference playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
Cause it just feels like looking at the standings, there's not going to be any crazy action in the West. Like it's kind of set up. There might be a little bit of movement, but like the play-in is pretty much set. Maybe there'll be some movement between Dallas and Portland, but those top five teams are pretty much set and no one really cares mm-hmm. like the seeding. But in the East, we're still at a point where 4 through 7 are all a game and a half from each other.
And we're then, not even, at least and, I'm not, go ahead, sorry.
And the play-in games are now super close too. So, and every night now, I mean, like tonight, half of the Eastern Conference playoffs played and big implications in these games, including the Hawks game. What were you going to say?
I can't quite remember. I know it was only a couple seconds ago.
I'm giving you your shot. This is your big, this is your.
I guess what I was going to say is like, I'm not totally sure of those, the teams between 4 and 7, like who's actually good and who's, you know,
it is not, you know, like it is. Yeah. Both because of injuries. Right.
Right.
And just inconsistency. Absolutely. And here's the thing. I was thinking about that too. And the first game, we'll talk about the Knicks and the Hawks. It was a very good game, went to overtime. No one wants to buy this, but if there is a team that has shown the most consistency this year of any of these teams, it's the Knicks. They have pretty much been the same team all year. They played great defense and Julius Randle's just dominated. And certain guys have stepped up here and there. RJ Barrett started to play better and they got better when they got Derrick Rose. But like, they're the hottest team in the NBA right now. They've won 8 in a row. They are now the 4th seed in the East, which is just mind blowing to even think about. But the story, we'll talk about them in a second. But the story of this one is injuries. Trae Young gets hurt. The Hawks were winning this game, by the way. And then Trae Young got hurt. Went up for a shot, came down on someone's foot, rolled his ankle. X-ray is negative, but he had to be helped off the court. He's having an MRI tomorrow. I gotta think it's not a tear. Like ankles are not usually like tears.
Right. Now I guess you're worried about a fracture, if anything, but.
But you would see a fracture on an X-ray. The X-ray was negative.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah. Okay.
MRIs for like ligaments and that mm-hmm. sort of stuff. So it sounds like probably not a season injury, but if it's a high ankle sprain, then the Hawks are fucked, right? Like,
I'm not so sure of, just because I'm so low on Trae Young. Like, I am too,
but it's just this team.
They're worse.
Well, this team that wasn't a very good offensive team in the beginning of the year, that has been a better offensive team since they got Nate McMillan, has pretty much shown that when Trae Young is not on the floor, they're not a great offensive team. They're so injury riddled. They've been so injury riddled all year that everything is so built around him. They can't afford to lose Trae Young for a long period of time. They're going to be in the playoffs. I just mean what we're talking about now is, let's say Trae Young misses 2 weeks. That's the rest of the season almost. And we're talking about 1.5, 2 games is the difference between the 4 seed and being the play-in, and then 1 game and you're out, or 2 games and you're out. So it's a huge deal whether you buy Trae Young, like, you know, long-term championship playoff run, whatever, in terms of just the difference between being a lock for the playoffs and a play-in game. It's a huge thing for them.
Yeah, that's fair.
And then Clint Capella got hurt. He stayed in the game and he finished with 25 and 22. But his injury actually looked worse, I thought. He had like an awkward step, also stepped on someone's foot, but it looked like he like hyperextended his hip or something.
Ooh.
And then fell backward, just like straight up fell backwards onto his like tailbone.
Jesus.
He was just like holding his lower back. He looked like he was in a ton of pain, but he stayed in the game. So, but they are so fragile. They're like on the thin ice of being a borderline playoff team or being a top 4 team. It's crazy. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What's their schedule? I think we talked about their schedule last night, actually, but I do think they're a lock for the playoffs at this point.
Well, yes. Well, they're a lock to at least be in the play-in game because mm-hmm. the play-in, I mean, they would have to, they are 6.5 games up of the 10 seed. So they're going to be in the play-in. I mean, it's not
they have a rough stretch coming up. They have Miami, Milwaukee, and then Detroit and two against Philly.
That's what I mean. It's just like as no matter what, and I look, you know how I feel about Trae Young. I feel the same way. I've been pretty hard on the guy. And not only that, I was going to crush the guy tonight for the glasses that he's wearing because of his bruised eyelid or whatever, but I can't now because he actually did get hurt for real.
Bruised eyelid.
That's what he said.
Is an eyelid. That's insane.
I guess he got elbowed in the face and he has like a bruise. I guess they said he has a bruise under his eyelid and he doesn't want it to get hit again because it really hurts. So he's wearing glasses.
Yeah. Glasses don't look good, by the way, if you haven't seen
them. Well.
They might look good on somebody that's cooler than him, but he.
There you go. Yeah. I think we've established that the things that don't look good on Trae Young could potentially look good on other people.
Yeah.
But Trae Young already, I mean, the hair and the glasses now, just.
McDonald's jumpsuit.
He definitely looks like a character out of a movie with the glasses. I mean. He could have been in what's it called?
Semi pro.
That's what I was gonna say. Yeah, I don't know. It's a rough stretch. So we'll see. But I do think with their depth, you know, without him, you're either starting Lou Will at the point or Brandon Goodwin, who, strangely enough, Nate McMillan decided to go with down the stretch, which you know they ended up coming back and going to overtime and whatever. So maybe it was like a defensive thing, but you know. I think they are a worse team. Obviously, you can't deny they're a worse team without Trae if he's out for long term.
Yeah, I'm just not super worried. I don't know.
I'm with you. I'm just saying. I think what the difference in what we're thinking is you're thinking, well, even if they have Trae Young, they're going to lose in the playoffs. Yeah. I'm thinking if they don't have Trae Young, they're going to be a 8 seed instead of a 4 seed. And
clawing, you know?
Yeah, that's really what I'm because for the playoff race, it's a huge deal.
Yeah,
for their season, yeah. I mean, they're going to lose. They're dangerous, but they'll lose to any of the top teams that are above them. Yeah. The Knicks, though, good. I mean, Julius Randle. This is the second game in a row too that their offense has looked really good. And they are just humming. And then Julius Randle, 40 points, 11 rebounds, 6 assists, 6 of 8 from 3. Dude's like a sharpshooter. It's crazy.
It is crazy. Their whole team shot really well tonight, but they have these guys that can, you know, get hot. And if they're all shooting well on the same night, you're probably not going to win that game. Like,
and it was not a great defensive game for them. They gave up 127 points.
Right.
That's a bad sign for the Hawks, by the way. If you score 127 points on the Knicks and lose, you're either your defense had an awful night or watch out the rest of the league.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because if the Knicks offense has somehow clicked at this point in the year where they're scoring this many points in a night, holy shit. Mm-hmm. Cause that defense is crazy.
Yeah.
But it's exciting. I hate to say it. I know people don't want to hear it or certain fan bases don't want to hear it. A lot of fan bases don't want to hear it. They're fun, man. It's fun to see the Knicks being well. And another thing from this game, I know it's at the expense of Trae Young being hurt, but seeing Lou Williams and Derrick Rose battling each other for playoff positioning warms my heart a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
It's just cool.
You know, Lou Williams was probably on the floor with the Sixers when Derrick Rose shredded his knee in the playoffs. That one time. Like it goes
that
far
against
back.
The Sixers?
Yes, it was.
Oh, I forgot about that.
But that's how far back it goes, you know?
I know. So it's just cool to see Lou home helping a team fight for the playoffs and Derrick Rose rejuvenating one of the most storied franchises that's been awful for so long. And then them fighting, like battling it out for playoffs is just cool. Just watching. And then, so this game, so now the Knicks move up to 4, the Hawks move down to 5, but of course it becomes even more important because the Heat won their third game in a row They beat the Spurs 107-87. And this is this, I would imagine, based on the way the Heat have played this year, it's their second game in a row winning by 20. It's got to be the first time they've done that this year. They just don't beat teams like this, like beat up on teams. They usually, even when they have good defensive games, which they had obviously tonight, Jimmy Butler comes back and miraculously they hold the team to 87 points. I don't remember them winning back-to-back games by 20 or more.
Yeah, well, you would know because you've got a whole other Heat podcast. Yeah,
although the last one was against the Rockets, so does that really count?
I think so. Because it is important to just beat the shit out of teams that you're supposed to, I think.
You know? Yeah. You're not supposed to beat the shit out of the Spurs, by the way. Like, the Spurs aren't
bad. No, I mean the Rockets. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. You're right. I just mean the Rockets. Yeah. I was thinking, too, you know, like, Bam only played 30 minutes in this game. He had 23 points. I'm wondering, I was talking with, did my other show with Norris earlier today, our Heat-specific show, and we were talking about, like, what that kind of shot can do for a guy that he made against Brooklyn the other night, that game winner. If that was like the catalyst for him saying to himself, like, I'm a go-to scoring option, I wouldn't mind seeing a little like a Julius Randle-esque run from Bam here to end the season where he just takes over. Because mm-hmm. Has just been okay.
Right.
Like, all year, the offense has just been okay. But if Bam could take, like, most teams can't stop him. He can't shoot at that. I mean, he's not taking any threes, let alone going 6-for-8. But from a skill, like, from every other skill that Julius Randle has that he has brought to the Knicks, Bam does just as well. Mm-hmm. He just can't shoot it like that.
I'm a big believer in that sort of, like, that confidence boost that can stick with a guy. Like, just imagine the rush of hitting that shot. And like, I think it could carry over to a really nice stretch from him. Because, I mean, just the way he looked in the playoffs last year, like, we expected a huge leap this season. He's been good, but he hasn't mm-hmm. taken that leap. So maybe it's a start.
And then the other guy who I was really happy to see play well, because this is another guy we talked pretty extensively about today, is Tyler Hero, who Heat fans were just totally shitting on the past week because he's been mm-hmm. playing really bad. And then this report came out, not even a report. There's a podcast. I guess there's a report where Ethan Skolnick basically said that the organization's been worried for months about
his personal life, right?
About his celebrity status and the way he is off the court and all that shit. I'm like, so you waited till he's having like his worst stretch of the season to say that your sources say that the organization's been worried about him for months.
Right.
He's fucking 21 years old living in Miami. Mm-hmm. What do you want from him? Like, what do you want?
He's not having that. I mean, he's having a bad stretch.
He's having a bad year. He's just not, he hasn't improved. He's not having a good year. And I think a lot of it became the conversation of, if Oladipo comes back, who plays Nunn or Hero? Like, who should sit? Because before, Nunn sat when Vic played. But Nunn's playing well and Tyler Hero's having a bad year. So it started this whole debate of who should play. And then people were like, well, Tyler Hero's having a bad year and he's not as good as we thought. And people are just like, I mean, it's down on him. And I just was like, man, give the kid a chance.
Mm-hmm. I mean, he was a different player in the playoffs last year after
they even went as far as to be like, oh, but we know the truth. If you look at the numbers, he wasn't as good as we thought he was in the playoffs. Like, what? Yeah, what are you talking about?
That's
are we going to look at the numbers or are we going to watch the run that the Heat made to the finals and mm-hmm. judge off of that?
Yeah.
You know,
against the best defenses in the league, you know,
yeah. like, he wasn't that great against the Lakers. Yeah. 14th pick in the NBA draft in their rookie season usually aren't that great against the best defense in the NBA, NBA champions in the NBA finals in their rookie year. Like, what are we talking about here?
Yeah.
It's been frustrating me all day because I was just like, because I was getting ready for that show and I was reading articles and stuff. And I was just like, God, how can these people even like, why even bring this stuff up? It's just so absurd to talk about in a shortened season, you know, with no off season to really get better with, you know, not really knowing what the lineup's going to be. Am I starting? Am I coming off the bench? Who am I playing with? That's, I would imagine, it back-to-back shortened seasons to start your career, nothing's comfortable. How about maybe talk about any of that stuff other than the fact that he has his own cereal. Like, like, who gives a shit? Like, who cares? He should do that stuff. Great. Yeah. Good for him. You know?
Are they called heroes?
I think so. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Makes sense.
They're like fruity, I think. I honestly don't know much about them.
Okay.
But yeah, it got me really frustrated. And then tonight he had 22. He went 5 for 6 from 3, 8 of 13 from the field. So I was happy to see that. And I won't be shocked if by tomorrow everyone's talking about how great he is again.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's just,
yeah, it's just, that's the way cycle. It works.
So now the Heat sit at half a game out of sixth place. So 4 through 7 now is Knicks at 33 and 27, Hawks at 32 and 27, Celtics at 31 and 27, and then the Heat at 31 and 28. And I don't think any of the teams below the Heat, Charlotte could still play their way into that, but I feel like with their injuries stuff there, it's going to be tough for them. They seem to be getting injured at the wrong time, and then the teams below that won't be it. So I think it's going to be a battle between those four teams, and we won't really, I bet we won't know until late in the last week.
Yeah.
What the order is going to be.
And I expected it to be the opposite. I think I said a couple times on here how like, oh yeah, over the next 2 weeks, we'll get some separation here, but it's just been wire to wire this middle of the East. It's crazy.
Mm-hmm. And the Heat have a relatively easier road than this next little stretch they have is not super tough. I know they have some easy games coming up and they've won 3 in a row. So, well, it'll be interesting to see how that race shakes out. That's probably going to be the funnest part of these next couple weeks leading into the playoffs, because everything else is kind of like, and then I guess seeing who comes back healthy and how they look, because every team has something. And you look at the top, I mean, we'll talk about Philly in a second, but Philly has it, Brooklyn, obviously, and even the Bucks, like Giannis has been on and off. So,
yeah,
but those teams aren't, I mean, that's not going to change those top three. Maybe the order, maybe 1 and 2, but, and then with the East, we have the play-in situation, which now is the Wizards.
It's getting weirder.
The Wizards beat the Warriors tonight, 118-114. Steph had one of his worst games of the year, I guess, probably. I guess if you look at it in the context of what he's been doing the last, like, what, month?
Mm-hmm.
One of the best stretches in NBA history. He goes 7 of 25 from the field and 2 of 14 from 3. So a terrible game. They actually, that loss puts Golden State at 9. So they're fine. Like, see, that's what I'm saying. Like, New Orleans is 3.5 games out of the play-in. So those teams, it seems like with 15 games left,
something
those,
really crazy would have to happen, I feel
yeah.
like.
I mean, I guess any of those teams could go on a losing streak, but I just don't see it happening.
But the Pels have lost 4 in a row. It's not like they're
they're crumbling. Yeah.
Yeah.
Crumbling.
So,
but as far as the Wizards go, so now the Wizards have won 6 in a row. They're the second hottest team in the NBA. Russell Westbrook has another triple double with 20, this time with 20 rebounds. And then after the game, he had a great quote. It was something like, "You want me to make shots? I can do that. You want me to rebound? I can do that. You want me to pass? Yeah, I can do that. You want me to coach? Shit, I'll do that too."
Pretty badass.
Yeah, he's a gangster.
Did have 9 turnovers though. Sorry, just
I know
because
he's yeah. just oh, I didn't he shot. It was 5 of 17 from the field. I mean, like, it wasn't a good game, but hey, Brad Beal had 29, and they're winning games. Mm-hmm. You can't. We complained about him all at the beginning of the year because they were losing. We can't complain about them when they're winning.
It's true.
You can say whatever you want. They're winning games. They're winning games.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, another injury in this one bad. Danny Avdija. Alex is a big fan of Danny.
I am.
He's out for the year. Fractured his ankle in this game. So that sucks for them. He was starting for them. He, I guess, playing pretty good for them. Now we got to see how that changes their rotation. The kid that they got from Chicago, Chandler Hutchinson, hasn't been playing, and I don't think he's hurt. So I would, and I thought he played pretty good when the trade first happened.
Yeah, I did too. He flashed a little bit.
So I think I wouldn't be shocked to see him get some run here, potentially even start. to replace him, or the guy Garrison Matthews, who's like one of their another white shooter,
right?
Because I think they'll want to keep Bertans coming off the bench.
Yeah, I mean he's comfortable there.
But I gotta give some credit, you know, to this to Washington's front office, man. They've done all these moves. We like sort of question Russ and this and that, but I was looking at this team and I'm like, if you don't make this Russ move and John Wall's still there, this team is probably one of the worst teams in the NBA this year. I do think that's the difference between Russ and John Wall.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And they definitely wouldn't have turned it around with John Wall after the start. Like if they, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like the fact that Russ has hung in there and helped them turn it around is huge.
And then that deal that they made at the deadline, getting rid of Mo Wagner and Troy Brown, who's fine, rotation player. And even if Hutchinson doesn't play, Gafford looks great. Yep. And we said that when that trade happened, that he's a high upside guy. He had 19 and 10 tonight. He's been playing really good off the bench for them.
Mm-hmm.
And it's allowed them to not really play Robin Lopez.
It's always kind of a plus.
They start Alex Len, who played 13 minutes, and then Robin Lopez got 9 and Gafford got 24 minutes. That's huge for them if they don't have to play those guys. If they could split up the minutes evenly and then Gafford develops into like a legit center for them. Because they lost Thomas Bryant.
Yeah. Rui Hachimura was out tonight too. I think
he's been in and out all year, I feel like.
Yeah.
What is wrong with him? I didn't even notice he was out.
I'm looking at it right now. It just says that he's out on their injury page.
But his knee. It was this knee. I guess whatever the knee thing that he had before. And so now the Wizards are there in 10th because the Bulls lost tonight, and the Bulls are absolutely blowing it right now. They got smoked by Cleveland tonight. Like it was not even a game at any point. From the very beginning, Cleveland came out and just dog walked them. No Zach LaVine. And ever since the Zach LaVine first got nicked up, this team has not really totally been right. Mm-hmm. They won their last two games. They turned it around a little bit and he was out, but he's been nicked up for a while. And they just haven't really been the same since the deadline whatever happened to him and he wasn't sort of playing well because of the injury. It's clearly changed this organization.
Yeah.
And for anybody who questions whether this kid is a franchise player or not, right?
Yeah.
At one point, we were like, this team's locked to be a playoff team. Mm-hmm. And now he hasn't been playing well because of this injury. Now he's out, and I don't even think they're going to be in the play-in.
To me, this is a pretty damning stretch for Vucevic. Like, I know he's in a new situation and he's got to get used to it, but like, they're just playing so bad since he's gotten there.
It's true.
And like, his numbers he played really bad tonight. He was 4-for-12, but his numbers otherwise have been solid in losses. Mm-hmm. And like, that is ultimately going to be his career, I think. I mean, this was supposed to be that piece that took the Bulls from like a bottom of the East or like, I'm sorry, 7-8 seed type team to maybe like next year. They're really good. And
top 4 or 5.
Not looking like that. And that could change next year, but I don't know, man. It just seems like that's who he is. Vucevic is a great player on a bad team is going to be his ceiling.
That's not good for the Bulls.
No.
But that being said, we got to see what this looks like with a healthy Zach LaVine.
Yeah, with continuity as well.
I feel like Zach LaVine has not been fully healthy almost the entire time they've had Vooch.
Mm-hmm. I just feel like they shouldn't be this bad is my point. You know,
no, they shouldn't lose to the Cavs by almost 20 and be getting really absolutely smoked the whole game.
Yeah.
That's bad. But that's what happens sometimes with young teams, even though this isn't really that young. Look at their starting lineup. That's not a young team. I mean, Patrick Williams, mm-hmm. Daniel Tice, Vucevic, and Garrett Temple. And then coming off the bench is Thad Young, Satoransky, Denzel Valent. Like, that's not a young team.
No, there's plenty of veterans in there.
So, yeah, that's what I'm saying. I think I think this might be a little bit too much to overcome. Mm-hmm. Who knows? There's still only a game out of the play-in. So, right. Anything's possible.
It's all going to depend on Zach LaVine.
Because of this stupid play-in. Yeah. But what I was going to say was, I think that the Wizards, the way they're playing, could creep. They might be able to creep up to 8 because possible. I don't know if there's enough games. I think they definitely could creep up to 9 and pass the Pacers because the Pacers, who they won tonight, they played OKC. They beat OKC 122-116, but they still, I mean, look at this starting lineup, dude. This lineup they're rolling out there. O'Shea Brissett started at center. No Sabonis. We know Miles Turner is out indefinitely. And obviously the other guys who haven't been playing, like, this team could easily go on a little skid here and fall behind the Wizards, which would be crazy.
It does. I mean, if you're a Pacers fan, you're almost at the point where you write off this whole season. It's just too many injuries. Like, you
like, can't... are you, and this is where I was going to say, cause the Raptors won tonight. They beat the Nets. Kyle Lowry's playing now. They basically have their healthy team and they've won four in a row. They're half a game out of the play in. They could catch the Pacers too, the way they're playing.
Yep.
And if you're a Pacers fan, you kind of got to think, like, maybe that's better.
Yeah, screw it. Yeah, that's what I'm saying about writing the whole thing off. Like, this clearly isn't your year for the Pacers. It doesn't mean your franchise is trending downward. It's actually the opposite, in my opinion. She's got boned this year, so.
Yeah, like everyone else.
Yeah.
Like, if they fall behind the Wizards and the Raptors, there would be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. They'd be like 9th or 10th in the draft without before the lottery.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You get a pretty good player. Not that they need another young player, but they also technically don't really have their franchise. Like, they have franchise-esque players.
This episode is brought to you by Amazon Prime. You know Amazon Prime is not just a shipping subscription, right? It's got everything, including streaming TV and movies on Prime Video. And of course, Prime's fast, free shipping. Go from watching your favorite shows to getting your favorite things. Whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever you're into.
They don't have, yeah.
They don't have that guy. They don't have right. A dude, you know, and you're never going to get a dude in Indy unless you draft him. Really. So maybe that's the way to go if you're them. Because you're definitely not making it as a – I mean, you're playing in the play-in either way, and you're probably getting beat pretty bad unless somehow these guys come back healthy.
Yeah. And then if you say you survive that, you're going to get crushed by Philly or the Nets in the playoffs probably.
Right. I mean, dude, the Eastern Conference playoff is just fun, man. It's just a wild, you know – why, it's going to be wild to see these last few.
The economy is made up of real people doing real stuff, and it affects everything. Which you obviously know since you're a real person doing real stuff. Marketplace is here to help you get smart about everything beyond the what of the day's business and economic news. We dig into the how and the why with the real people driving our economy. From big tech and interest rates to small businesses and what's happening at the Fed, Marketplace breaks it all down so you don't have to. Listen to Marketplace wherever you get your podcasts.
Now is the chance to use reliable energy to grow your money with the Dominion Energy Reliability Investment. Our new investment product offers competitive returns, no maintenance fees, and flexible online access to your money. Make the reliable investment in reliable energy. The Dominion Energy Reliability Investment. To find out more, go online to reliabilityinvestment.com. That's reliabilityinvestment.com.
Your boys lost tonight, but I did see that Joel Embiid shot.
Dude, that was insane.
Phoenix beat Philly 116-113. But Joel Embiid, Chris Paul missed a free throw with 0.8 seconds left, up three, with, I guess, Philly had no timeouts.
Yep.
And Joel Embiid caught it off the rim and in all in one motion threw it the length of the court and almost banked it in. It was pretty wild.
It was incredible. If you haven't seen it, look at it. I mean, the post game show, like on like in local in the Philly area, led with the shot. You know, like they were talking about a missed shot for 10 minutes after the game. That's how remarkable it was. But this is the first time in a long time coming off of a loss where I feel like good about the team because they're missing Simmons and Harris, right? Right,
Steph.
Steph,
the Steph what? Game.
Oh, no! I mean, I feel really.
Didn't they lose that game too?
Yeah, but I feel like the way this team looked tonight without.
Oh, got it. Got it. I thought you mean just like, not, I thought you meant more like not feeling bad about
losing. No, I'm feeling good about, and I'll tell you why. It's because the
I role feel players, better about losing I, than winning.
No, you didn't watch too much of this game, right?
I watched the first half. I changed it to the Knicks Hawks game in the second half.
Thybul is legitimately special defensively.
Yeah. I like think that and, was kind of established though, right?
Well, he, I had a my buddy who is a Suns fan, one of the only ones on the planet, tell me like that's the toughest game I've seen for Devin Booker with a guy on it. Like Thybul locked up Devin Booker tonight. Then you've got Danny Green.
Didn't lock up Chris Paul though.
No, I mean Chris Paul is just an animal. But the bench players and the role players look so solid, and they look better than they did all season. So just, you know, when Tobias Harris is back to provide offense, I think this team's going to pick up right where they left off.
And Ben Simmons is back to provide defense.
You're right. Right. Yeah.
Were you just not going to mention Ben Simmons?
I purposely left him out. I can't stand him.
They're a different team defensively without him, clearly.
Yeah. They're less good of a defensive team.
It's wild to me that the guy is like has this chance to win defensive player of the year, and you just are like,
Thybul's a better defender than him. I'm dead serious. Like, he can't guard a five, which Simmons can try to do, but Thybul is a better one-on-one defender than Ben Simmons. It's true.
Hey, you watch them more than I do. I feel like there's a lot of people who would disagree.
Yeah, you would. Yeah, that's fine. I'm ready to take the heat on that.
You would die on that
hill. Mm-hmm. Look, I mean, I've said this a lot. Ben Simmons is an outstanding, like, team defender, like wreaking havoc and getting blocks and steals and stuff. But Thybul can make your best player's night really, really, really tough. And I don't think Simmons can necessarily do that. I'm serious. I'd rather have Thybul on Durant than Ben Simmons. How about that? Durant's going to get 30 regardless, but I'd rather have Thybul on him than Ben Simmons.
I guess
that might be my hottest take on the history of the pod.
It truly might be. I think my only concern, I would go with Simmons. My only concern with Simmons is I've always questioned like how much he likes playing basketball. So on any given night, is he going to just not give a shit and play bad defense? That's kind of
he's
where my thing is. So like if it's the playoffs and I feel like he'd probably be locked in the playoffs.
He's not. He's disappeared several times in the playoffs.
Yeah, but has he always been this good of a defender?
He makes me so frustrated.
Has he always had Doc Rivers, who has clearly played some kind of voodoo mind trick on him to convince him that he is the best defender?
No, I think he's convinced himself, okay, I'm never going to be a great offensive player. So if I'm going to have a legacy in this league, I need to win defensive player of the year. I seriously think it's that, okay. And that's fine.
Yeah, whatever, it's fine. But whatever motivates you, whatever gets you out of bed in the morning.
It'd be great for him just to be motivated to develop an all-around game and just be great defensively, you know? That'd be outstanding.
What's the difference? If you guys win a title, who gives a shit?
Oh, yeah. I just don't think we're going to win a title with this guy. I really don't.
I feel like if any team outside the Nets is winning a title this year, it's the Sixers.
I hope so.
If they're healthy.
Well, the Lakers, too.
In the East, I said, okay. Outside of the Nets. I said did I not say in the East? I meant in the East.
Okay.
Outside of the Nets.
I would agree. I would agree.
I think it's the Sixers, but not because of Ben Simmons. He helps on defense, but it's because of Joel Embiid.
Yeah.
The Suns with this win are now a game and a half behind the Jazz. Let's go.
The best record in the NBA.
Best record in the league. Oh.
What do we got?
PJ Dozier had a pretty nifty behind the back pass to Jokic. Close game. We might get some Dame time here on the
got pop. Some a couple close. All three are close right now. It's great.
Yeah. Who cares about the other ones?
Yeah.
well,
one's pretty good. One is two playoff teams today.
That's true. Portland, Denver is now tied 99-99 with 5 minutes left. So we may get some Dame time. What else was there? Was there any other games outside of the games that are still going on?
We touched on Toronto, Brooklyn, but not.
It's funny, like this, it was such a good night of games because it was a really like a very good night of games. They were like, I really didn't even notice until I was looking around before we started that Luka had a 30-point triple-double, basically.
Oh, my God. I didn't even know that until you just said it.
Well, he had nine assists. He had nine assists, but...
But it was against Detroit, which is
Detroit, which is why it's like, all right, Corey Joseph is in your starting lineup. What's happening? Like, what? Like, what's going on?
Yeah, it's getting pretty bleak. Oh,
I will say, I got it. Listen, I'm going to say this, and I know you probably still don't agree. Julius Randle has taken over Jeremy Grant for most improved player.
I don't think I could argue against it.
I think at this point, it's almost a lock.
Because he's truly gone from good player to just he's second team all NBA. Like, so I think he's close. I think he's very close.
We had this conversation. I forgot who I had this. I think I had this conversation with Giancarlo on Sunday. The fact that he's played might do it because, you know, in the East, for the forward spot. Well, it's not even the East, right? It's just the whole NBA. Mm-hmm. So for the forward spot, LeBron, Kawhi, Kevin Durant, probably Paul George. Those guys, I think, all get voted above him. Luka is considered a forward, isn't he?
I guess.
So I just think there's...
Luka should be a guard. They should honestly need to get rid of position, to be honest. But
yeah, or at least get rid of center.
Yeah, and just go bigs and guards or something.
Yeah. He made Giannis. He's not going to get it over Giannis. You know, so it's going to be tough. It might be tough for him to even make an all-NBA team, but he should definitely be on it. But just, I mean, like, again, like the media, is the media going to vote for Julius Randle or are they going to vote for Zion?
That would be a travesty. They better. I mean,
but I'm just saying, we'll see. Everybody loves Zion. Make it a sitcom. Everybody loves Zion.
There's a ring to it.
Jason Tatum is averaging 26. Could he make it over? Julius Randle should be there, but it's just, I don't know. It's going to be tough. Definitely tough for second team. He should be a lock for the third team.
Yeah. All right. I'll settle for that.
But if they finish fourth in the East, he could get second team.
I think he should. I really do.
I agree. I'm just, if they get fourth, I think he could get it. Mm-hmm. They have to keep going. Like if they slide down to like seven or eight somehow, or seven, I don't think they'll slide to eight. I think he'll be third.
That would hurt. Yeah, but they've just been so consistent.
Yeah, they're killing it right now. 4 minutes left. A little over 4 minutes left. Let's talk as this game is going. We have to address like. We talked about it on this podcast. First of all, the Nuggets, we'll see what happens in this game. They've won three in a row since Jamal Murray tore his ACL. I'm not saying they're just as good, but they haven't seemed to have missed a beat. And on the show, we discussed what was the absolute one of the keys to this team potentially being just as good, or if they were going to step up. Michael Porter Jr.
Taking those shots, right? Yeah.
He's shooting in the three games, not including tonight, since Jamal Murray tore his ACL. He's shooting 60% from the field and 57% from three. He's averaging 22 a game. And then he went 8 for 8 in the first half tonight.
Oh, my God.
He's not shooting well in the second half. But no one is talking about this guy this whole year. Does anybody talk about Michael Porter Jr.? He has the MVP on his team, so it's tough. But he's playing. He was 8 for 8, so he's missed all of his shots in the second
half. He's not having a good second half of the game.
He was 8 for 8 in the first half, so he's 0 for 4 in the second half.
What he's doing is special. Like, and then to sustain the 3-point percentage, man, that 40 is, what's tops in the league right now? He's at 43.3. I mean, it's just remarkable.
He's up there. I mean, Joe Ingles is 49. Jesus. He's 12th right now.
Joe Ingles is still at 49. Christ.
Yeah. Marcus Morris is shooting 48% from three.
Wow.
Are you on the list? Are you looking at the list?
Oh, yeah, I'm looking at
it. I was going to quiz
Bobby
you.
Portis. At
four, I was going to quiz you and see if you could get Bobby Portis. Okay. D'Anthony Melton.
What a strange year.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of those guys make sense. Marcus Morris doesn't make sense. Bobby Portis obviously doesn't make a lot of sense, but he only, that's the thing. It's like he qualifies, but in this league, taking two and a half threes a game is nothing. Like yeah. He must be barely qualifying.
Right. Yeah. Right at the fringe, but it's still, I mean, that's big for from game to game to have a guy knocking down.
I know, but look at all these other guys other than Luke Kennard and Desmond Bain. Like,
yeah,
you know, like Ingles is taking 6. Joe Harris is taking almost 7. Marcus Morris is taking 5. Paul George is taking 7. Steph's taking 12 a game. Oh, Steph. What a hero.
What a silly goose.
What a hero to the people.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wanted to sort of address the Michael Porter. It sucks that he's really blowing it.
He's got it. Maybe he'll hit a game winner for us or something.
That would be sweet. The other games that are going on that are also in the fourth quarter, Memphis is losing to the Clippers. But the big story here is Jaren Jackson Jr. is back, and he looks good, dude. He looks a little slow. He's in foul. He got in some foul trouble, but he has 11 points, 7 rebounds, and 4 blocks. And I was more impressed with him on the defensive end, even though he got in foul trouble. Like, he's moving around out there. He's getting in, obviously, 4 block shots. I was just thinking about, like, him and Jonas together is going to be a monster front court.
Yeah.
He's got to get in shape. He's only played 15 minutes, but he already looked pretty good in that little bit of time.
I really think the Grizzlies as an organization are like one of the biggest dark horses in the whole NBA. I mean, their outlook for the next 5 years to me is crazy. And it does hinge on Jaren Jackson Jr.'s health, but I mean, they have an absolute star in John Morant. Yes, he's a point guard, so that's a concern. But then you've got Jaren Jackson Jr. and then just a bunch of like proven dudes and some rookies that are Grayson shooting Allen. Their lights up. Yeah, Grayson Allen.
Rough night tonight.
Yeah.
This is the night where he hits a game winner because he's having a rough night.
That'd be great.
Be electric. But we won't see it. Well, we might see it because that game's going to end after this Denver-Portland game. 2 minutes left. Tied 101-101. At least that's what I have. It might be updated elsewhere.
No, that's right.
But, yeah, so Jaren, it's just good in this year, man, with all these injuries and guys falling left and right. It's nice to see somebody return from an injury. Speaking of which, AD is supposed to play on Friday.
Huge that's, for the league.
Huge for the Lakers, but we'll see. I mean, they said as long as he and KD might be playing too on Friday. No, AD is supposed to play tomorrow, and KD is supposed to play Friday.
Gotcha.
So we're getting there. It does feel as though these teams are just being a little more cautious than they normally would be just to get these guys healthy for the playoffs.
Mm-hmm. I mean, KD, it makes more, well, not for both of them. It actually makes a lot of sense, but
Dame just hit a little mid-range jumper, 103-103.
This could be it.
90 seconds left. Michael Porter Jr. No, not doing anything. I will keep you posted.
Thank you.
But good to see guys coming back from injuries because it's just been such a shitty year with all that.
Yeah. And maybe it starts to level out. I do think it's been like an anomaly type of year. I don't know what the hell is going on, but it's just night.
Yeah. I mean, shortened off season, less time between games, no time to recover. Guys are getting hurt. I'm not a doctor, but I gotta think that's a big part of it. That these guys, their bodies are not equipped to,
they're not galvanized for the regular season. Sorry. Is that the word? No, but it's somebody, Seth Joyner, a former Eagle, says it a lot. So
for what, in what context? Like, it seems like that word you just used it totally out of context. He's
furious about players not playing in the preseason.
Oh, so they have to galvanize them.
You have to galvanize your body to every day playing in contact and stuff. So
I feel like he's using that wrong.
He might be.
I'm going to look up galvanize. I feel like galvanize. Hold on.
No, I think galvanize. I think it is right. Isn't a more
coated with a protected layer of zinc or iron or
steel. So that's what you got to. You need that protective layer of zinc in the preseason to protect yourself for an 82 games. Like,
I feel like there's a different definition that I
shock or excite someone into taking action.
That's the meaning that I've heard before. Like we have to galvanize the troops or the team.
Right. Yeah, the alternate meaning that he's talking about is to add a protective layer.
To coat iron or steel with a protective layer of zinc.
I didn't know it had anything to do with zinc, but
I didn't even
I knew it had to do with strength. I didn't know there was like a
protective layer of zinc. Like
people. No, I didn't know.
I don't know anything about zinc.
Yeah, neither do I. Is it an element or is it just a molecule? What is it? What
are we talking about? I don't think it's a molecule. I think it's a metal.
I mean, there's definitely zinc molecules, but is zinc just an element?
Zinc's a metal, right?
Is
not a scientist.
Zinc an element? Yeah. It's an element. It's one of the elements. Okay.
But it's a metal element.
Yeah.
It's on the table that.
ZN. Yeah,
it's on the periodic table.
Yes,
I know about science.
Yeah, we are. There's got to be someone listening to this whose head is just about to explode with the misinformation flying around.
I mean, this whole week has just been
pretty brutal.
It's been one of those. Denver's up 104-103 with minute 10 left. Dame just ran an Iverson cut, took a 30 footer and misses it. Jokic with the rebound. 1 minute left. Denver up by one. We shall see. Then there was one other game tonight, but it was
stinky.
Minnesota
still going on.
Although we did say like we should check and update it tomorrow. That oh my goodness. Jokic drove to the paint, missed a layup, and PJ Dozier came out of nowhere.
Put back dunk.
Ooh. But I think they called a foul on Cam. Yep. They called a foul before the put back. So Jokic is going to the line. We should check tomorrow or tonight after if the Kings and the T-Wolves are going to have the most combined points between two teams playing back-to-backs like in the next night.
They put up 254 collectively last night.
And it's 115-110 with 450 left in that game.
So they're on pace to put up 500 points between the
two. In two nights.
Yeah. I mean, that's crazy.
That is wild. God, I hope this Denver report. I want Dame to do something. I also don't want this game to go to overtime. Yeah. 40 seconds left. Denver's up by – well, now Denver's up one. Dame just scored. So 35 seconds left. Denver's up one. Oh brother, another one of these endings.
I mean, we can talk about the periodic table until the cows come home. So I mean,
yeah,
if we want to kill some time.
Was there any other news today? I mean, there's only 18 seconds left. There you go. Will Barton high pick and roll, kicks to Jokic. Jokic for three. He missed it. And Aaron Gordon got an offensive rebound. Jump ball, they call here. Oh my. 8 seconds left. Jump ball.
Between who?
Aaron Gordon and Dame?
My money's on Aaron Gordon.
Yeah, but this sets up a Dame time situation because now Denver will get the ball. They'll foul, make the shots. 8 seconds left. Yeah, it's going to be Dame. Could have been Robert Covington, but it's Dame. It was close. There was something I wanted to talk about this podcast I was listening to today.
Yeah.
I do want to bring, but I want to see what happens at the end here before I talk about that. Oh, Portland got it. Norm Powell floater for the win. He missed it. Game over. That was
not your best.
I'm not a play-by-play guy. I know. Man. Not a play-by-play guy. And I also was half paying. I didn't even see the jump ball go up. Got tipped out. Covington ended up with the ball. They didn't call a timeout and they just tried to score. So Denver wins 106-105. All right. I did want to bring up this podcast that I've been listening to because I did think like I still not a ton of people listening, but if even like some people who are involved that are like NBA fans that are active like on Twitter and stuff can like need to listen to this show, maybe it'll be good. The show's called Death at the Wing. And it's Adam McKay who is the director. He's the director of like the movie Vice, Step Brothers, The Big Short. Has worked a lot with like Will Ferrell and all that stuff. He's the host and he produces the podcast, and it is, I'm trying to just look up the guy's name from, this episode that I was listening to today. So basically in the 80s and early 90s, a bunch of NBA players died. And it was just like all these like very shocking like events that he's going back and unpacking, but in the lens of what was going on in the United States at that time and how the rise in the like of the popularity of the NBA becoming mainstream correlated with these guys getting into these sort of situations. Like, for example, Len Bias, who OD'd on cocaine before he even played for the Celtics, those type of stories. But today's was about a guy named Ricky Berry who had committed suicide. The episode focuses on like mental health back then and how obviously during that time people didn't talk about it and how things changed and how like Jimmy Carter was like tried to address sort of the things that was going on in the country and people didn't like it. And then like Reagan just was anti, like he was like a cowboy, like nothing's wrong with our country, this and like that. It sort of goes into the politics of it. Mm-hmm. But one of the things that's amazing about it was he had Jerry West on, and Jerry West is very open about how he suffered from depression when he was a professional athlete, but back then they didn't know. Right. And just sort of talking about how there's this pressure of being an athlete that most guys that become professional athletes, they come from certain situations. Now there's the few, like I'm looking at Austin Rivers, didn't come from a tough situation, Steph Curry. So, but the majority of professional athletes come from rough situations. So, and then once they get to these places like fame and money, they have this pressure, not only from the public, but to succeed, to provide for their family and everybody that they're taking care of, because that's what their goal has always been. And he talks about how he felt that pressure a lot because he came from a family with not a lot and had all these, you know, siblings and parents and stuff like that. But basically, I think it's a good thing that any sports fan for them to listen to, because I've talked about on here a lot how I've gotten so like, I've had to get like invested in Twitter, in NBA Twitter, because of the podcasts and all that stuff. And I've always known the way people talk about athletes and the way we sort of treat them as commodities more than people. And when athletes now talk about mental health, or they complain, or they say that, I think a lot of times people chalk it up to like this era being kind of soft. And I think it's very eye-opening if you listen to Jerry West talk about how it's been happening forever. There just was a time where they weren't allowed to talk about it. Mm-hmm. It was taboo, or you were called insane or crazy. Right. And I think it could help people gain a little bit of perspective of like what goes on in the mind of NBA players. And then it talks about the evolution of players. Like it talks about Ron Artest thanking his therapist after the championship and how revolutionary that was, because no one did that kind of thing. And then Kevin Love coming out publicly and all that. And we make fun of guys. I don't think we're too hard on guys. Like we make fun of Trae Young, but I don't think we're that hard on him. But people, even in the media and fans, are so mean to these guys, like just so mean. Like, and there does come with like some level of when you're famous, you're in the spotlight, people are going to pick at you. But I do think there is room for people to understand, like, these are humans, and especially in the social media era, like we can do better than just like trashing these people at every instance just because you're not a fan of them or their team. And when guys say that, like, it impacts them, it does, because they're people. And we say it on here and I say it and whatever, but who am I? But if the reason I would think people should listen to this is because when you listen to Jerry West talk about it, it's the fucking logo, right? He's like synonymous with the NBA. Mm-hmm. And then just the whole, I mean, the podcast in itself is incredible, but this episode kind of touched close because I think we see it constantly now.
Yeah.
Every week there's another story of this guy's insane or this guy's losing his mind or this guy's this or this guy's that. And it's like, maybe we just like stay out of his personal life and let him play basketball, you know?
Yeah, no, I feel that a lot. I don't know. I have a lot of thoughts about this, but it's just a lot of times when you're bashing a guy on Twitter or even talking about how bad a player is, it just doesn't even feel like it's real. You know, it doesn't ever feel like it could land, but it does, you know, like mm-hmm. It is a real median that these guys look at. And it's remarkable because you're miles away from somebody and you type something that you would never, ever, ever say to the guy's face or even yell at him from an arena. So it's just kind of like this median where you feel like you have the security blanket to be a dick and you don't, you know, and maybe, I don't know if it's getting worse or better, probably getting worse.
Way worse.
Yeah.
I think it's worse than it's ever been because of social media. Mm-hmm.
No, I mean, within like the past, like since the rise of social media, like over the last 6 years, it probably is still getting worse.
I think it's particularly bad. Yeah. I think there is, look, you're a professional athlete. Fans pay for league pass. They pay to go to games. If you're playing bad, it comes with, and people are talking shit about you playing bad, that comes with the territory, I think. Mm-hmm. It may not be easy to hear it, but that's also kind of what you signed up for. Like if you're a professional basketball player getting paid a lot of money to play basketball and people are like, this guy's playing like shit and he's playing like shit. Well, then you're just playing like shit. Like that's kind of, but when it starts to become like this guy's weak or this guy's family or this guy, what's he doing off the court? And let's dig into his personal life and let's crush him as a pro. Oh, he's soft because he went to this team or he made this decision and now he's a bad person. That shit is the stuff that's like gotten way out of control,
I think. Yeah. Well, because it's almost more interesting to some people that don't actually like the game.
I know.
It's more interesting to them. It's the soap opera around the game, and ESPN is and you know, mainstream sports media has tapped into that like scavengers or I don't know, but you know.
Well,
so,
it was,
and that is something that I like so much about this show and being part of the show is that we talk about the game, you know, mm-hmm. and we get into some funny stuff off the court and some.
I mean, we make fun of guys, but it's all in jest. Like, mm-hmm. I don't dislike Trae Young.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
He's goofy looking. Mm-hmm. It is what it is. And you know what? If he ever came out and was like, I don't like people talking about my appearance, I'd probably stop.
Mm-hmm.
But like, I feel like he's leaned into the goofiness a little bit.
Yeah. No, I don't think we've said anything that crosses a line. Maybe we have. Maybe we should go back. I don't know.
I don't know. I think we probably have. I think mm-hmm. I'm sure I'm guilty of saying some stuff. I mean, right. I probably sound like a hypocrite because I'm sure at some point on this show, I probably crush somebody.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to try not to.
Just the fact, keeping it in mind.
Mm. Yeah. But also, I do think a lot of where I crush guys is the game. And exactly. Just how I feel about them as a basketball player, not as a person. I don't give a shit about most of these guys as people. I don't mean that in a negative way.
No, I know what you mean. Yeah,
I don't know them. I don't know their life. They don't know me. All I know about them is I love this sport and I followed it. And most of my adult life has revolved around it. You know, I'm critical of players, but it's gotten to this point where just,
mm-hmm.
and we obviously see that there's guys, Kevin Durant, Dame, these guys are CJ McCollum, the guys that are on Twitter, all Steph, they're on Twitter. They see everything. Crime Faces is out there responding to me. You don't think Kevin Durant sees what other people with bigger accounts see, you know what I mean?
Well, we know he does.
Right. But I'm just saying, and obviously it impacts his mindset. And I know the prevailing thought for most people is like, oh, he's so rich. Who cares? That doesn't matter. It's not, that doesn't matter.
Right. Yeah. If that's enough for you to rationalize it, then, you know, maybe look inward a little bit.
Yeah. Well, that's jealousy. too. Yeah. But so the podcast is called Death at the Wing, and the whole series is really good. And they're short. They're only like 35, 40 minute episodes. But I thought I'd suggest it if you're looking for less of a game breakdown and more of just like a cool, not cool, because it's about a bunch of guys dying.
Informative, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that you will learn. There's guys on here that I forgot about or don't even know about. Like there's one about a guy who got killed in Chicago, and it talks about the entire like history of gun violence in Chicago. It's a very interesting episode. So yeah, Death at the Wing. So I'm glad I remembered because I wanted to.
Yeah, yeah.
I know I texted you while I was listening to it today. Like I said, I wanted Clippers ended up beating the Grizzlies, by the way.
And the Kings and Wolves have gone over 500 points in the last 2 days. So,
so that's a good way to end with actual basketball talk. Mm-hmm. 80 plays tonight. If you're listening to this, 80 plays tonight. So we'll see you tomorrow morning. We'll talk about that later.
Later.
Now is the chance to use reliable energy to grow your money with the Dominion Energy Reliability Investment. Our new investment product offers competitive returns, no maintenance fees, and flexible online access to your money. Make the reliable investment in reliable energy. The Dominion Energy Reliability Investment. To find out more, go online to reliabilityinvestment.com. That's reliabilityinvestment.com.